This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
8:47 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Tanjung Han and Giri Balakrishnan. Thank you everyone for sending your WhatsApps and your tweets this morning. Our WhatsApp number 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You can join this conversation at any point in time. Thank you, Ed, for trying to come up with the acronym for BFM, speaking about Bong Mokhtar, who has to apologise for his F-bomb in the next Parliament sitting. He has come up with a avatar for the Twitter handle, but the suggested BFM acronym is Bong Failed MP, which that was quite clever. There you go. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to the business pages today. We're looking ahead, or we're expecting second quarter GDP numbers to be released by Bank Negara, I believe, in a few hours' time, just at noon. But you know what? As we look ahead to that, we should also remember just a few days ago, economists had cut their forecast of Malaysia's headline GDP numbers for the second quarter. This, they say, amid weak economic data from June.
Yeah, so an economist said sentiment has been dampened amid a slowdown in private investment, also weaker than expected industrial production and services benchmarks, while we have disappointing crude palm oil production data as well. This again goes back to Tun Mahathir's planned visit to China and some MOUs that they're going to be signing with regard to palm oil.
Yeah, definitely going to look forward to Bank Negara's announcement in less than 4 hours from now. So that data will be out at noon today. So looking at what economists are expecting ahead of that announcement, in short, the economic growth for Malaysia is expected to be slower in the second quarter versus the first quarter of this year. We are getting a sense that it actually could come in at the slowest since 2016. Looking at the Bloomberg media, a median estimate, that is coming at 5.2% versus the 5.4% that we saw in the first quarter of this year. But now, some of the lower projections are coming from the likes of MIDF Investment Bank, Maybank Investment Bank, and Nomura Singapore, all projecting GDP growth to come in below 5% for the second quarter.
Yeah, so I think for me, it really is, you know, what's different from this quarter to from the previous quarter, right? What has changed? And there's a lot that's changed in the global stage when it comes to what's happening with world trade, with, you know, tariff tensions. That could also be a factor when it comes to play. I mean, emerging markets itself, we're going to be seeing a bit of a hit. We have seen in the past week or so, but whether that will feed into future quarter GDP numbers, we'll keep a close eye on. Yeah, whether so this is a trend, right?
Yeah, certainly a very good point. And I think CIMB has said that if there's a full-blown trade war, that could shave off some 1.3% from our GDP growth over an extended period of time. But coming back to that second quarter numbers, though, Giri, you mentioned that some economists are seeing slower private investment, which is interesting because you would think that slowdown would be actually on the public side, on the government side, right? And that could lend an upward boost.
So do you think what is
it,
uncertainty due to economic policy, perhaps? You know, we're all waiting for budget 2019 when it comes out in October.
Investors are taking money off the table just to see what is going to come through next with the budget, and then make decisions post that rather than to try and second guess what we may be proposing in our budget.
Yeah, no, because you would think that with the amount of money that we now have extra in our pockets, given that GST was abolished for 2 out of those 3 months, that would have lent itself to more spending. But again, we have to wait and see what the official breakdown is from Bank Negara
later.
Well,
the government doesn't have much room to maneuver when it comes to spending, right? Because they are already, you know, you're worried. So the government debt at the moment is, I think, about 65% now. That's been reiterated by Fitch as well, earlier this week. So, you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room or manoeuvring room if there is a downturn in the economy, if there is, you know, public spending. So they have to balance this achieving the 100-day promises that they made in the manifesto, at the same time making sure that they show some level of fiscal discipline at the same time try to reduce the government deficit?
Well, let's have a look at what Fitch actually said. Earlier this week, Fitch Ratings reaffirmed Malaysia's sovereign credit rating at A- with a stable outlook, which is not exactly doom and gloom. It's still pretty positive. The agency expects GDP growth to narrow from the earlier prediction of 5.9% to 5.2% this year. And in 2019, they're looking at 4.8%, and slightly slower in 2020 at 4.6%, as the government is making efforts to constrain recurrent spending in line with its narrower revenue base.
Right, and that narrower revenue base, that is the cause for concern there, because, you know, from what I understand, actually Fitch's model had actually pointed to a downgrade, but because of some qualitative arguments that were presented to them, they're like, okay, fine, you know, we'll keep it at A minus and stable outlook for now. So you look ahead to perhaps Moody's sovereign credit rating review. Their annual one is usually out, I believe, in the first quarter of the new year, so I have to wait and see that. But that is something that not just investors, not just the business community, but obviously these sovereign credit rating guys are watching as well.
Qualitative. That's interesting.
Yeah. No, see, because on one hand, you've got this higher levels of debt, right? 65% of GDP versus the sub 51% GDP that the previous government claimed.
Sure.
Okay, so that's on one hand. But at the same time, they have staved off a big part of their revenue by abolishing GST. So that question mark, the big gap there, still has to be accounted for.
Well, according to the Malaysian Reserve, the government plans to dispose of assets in order to plug that financial hole that they're facing. Mm. They're looking at selling off some stakes of the GLICs, you know, Khazanah in particular. Khazanah has, what, some 266 billion ringgit in terms of market cap through its 10 main listed holdings. However, Petronas is off the table, so they're not going to be listing Petronas a la Saudi Aramco. So no listing for Petronas. But, you know, what will this mean for the local market should some of Khazanah's stakes be divested?
Yeah, well, this means that this is a great opportunity for retail investors to step up then, because so often the complaint has been, oh, you know, they have been overcrowded by the presence of these huge institutional investors.
Sure.
But the question is whether or not that's enough, you know, among or in your pockets to take up that 266 billion ringgit in market cap. So granted, it's not just domestic retail investors. You can also rely on foreign investors. Then the question is whether they'll come back in, given the sell-off that we have seen since May 9th. Although, to be fair, I believe, according to MIDF's numbers, there has been net buying by foreign investors into the Malaysian equity space over the last couple of weeks, I believe.
Well, it's not just foreign investors. We also have a number of public institutions here, which are, private institutions here, which are with including companies, insurance companies, for example, which would be taking quite a strong position with some of these stocks, which are basically flagships in the Malaysian economy. Like, for example, your utilities companies, if they show enough promise in terms of growth and in terms of dividend payment, it would be a healthy income source for these insurance companies.
Sure, you know, good point. Also, we got to point to the fiscal deficit numbers that Fitch outlined earlier this week. So they're expecting by 2020, the fiscal deficit will be 2.5% of GDP. That's
what is it currently?
Well, the projection for this year was 2.8%.
Right.
So 30 basis points over the next 3 years, that's not a lot. I mean, compared to the previous goal of trying to achieve a near-balanced budget by 2020. So it means that that fiscal consolidation agenda, that might be slowing down a bit, although still there, 30 basis points projected by 2020.
Well, abolishing GST may not be great for the country's coffers, but it's certainly good for new car owners. New vehicle sales in Malaysia rose by over 40% in July compared to a year ago. So in July, we clocked in about 68,400 units of new vehicle sales. Compare that to a year ago, it was 48,500 units. So if you look at the sales volume for the month of July, it's the second highest monthly TIV, that's total industry volume, achieved in the history of the local auto market.
Yeah, actually, sales volume in July, according to Malaysian Automotive Association, was 6% higher than the month before. The association expects sales volume for August to be maintained at July levels. But I'm looking at it going forward. If with the introduction of SSD, will there be a normalization of the sales volume? I suspect there will be some kind of normalization because you'll have an uptick in the price of prices of cars generally. But there may be some companies which still offer some kind of discount even after the imposition of SSD. I suppose that will be dependent on their strategy on how they are going to penetrate the Malaysian market.
Yeah, no, good point. So, you know, as it stands, 41% on your growth in car sales for July, 28.3% on your growth for car sales in the month of June. Folks, you've got 2 weeks left before this tax holiday runs out. And here's a quick plug here. Before you go out and buy that car, make sure you check out our episode of Ringgit and Cents. In the latest episode,
Yesterday's show,
you can find that on BFM app. You know, it talks about perhaps identifying and avoiding some of these common pitfalls that goes into buying a car. Just because it's a tax holiday, you got to ask yourself, do you need a car?
You know, a new car is not a decision you come up with on the spot, right? It's not something you'll be like, tomorrow I want to buy a new car.
Unless if you're a multi-millionaire, then a different story. You can change.
Those are the circles you run.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Unless you get a 6% discount, then would you be running to the showroom?
Well, see, I thought about it, right? When the GST was abolished, I was like, oh, maybe it's a good time to, you know, upgrade my 5-year-old Japanese car here. But I was like, no, I'm okay. I'm going to practice fiscal discipline.
Fiscal discipline.
Why? Because ringgit and cents. That's why.
Maybe the government can also take a leaf out of your book there, Han. All right. We've got a tweet from Sheikh Syarif who said the government changed from Belanjawan to budget. So maybe we should change budget to Jimat 2019 due to the austerity effort going on. Thank you so much to Sheshari, who is a regular tweeter to BFM Radio. You too can weigh in on the conversation. Our handle is at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We've got Lin Mark poised at the mic to bring you the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.